0.0.
Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavasi International. Lavasi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavasi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavasi International, lavasi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Coming at you! Welcome to an edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California, the Amp Studio themselves. We are Sans Prados, who's unfortunately under the weather, but we do have a special guest. Let me bring him in right now. We're coming at you live and unedited from the night that was Jacare versus Brunson, too. See, my special host, my buddy, of course, the one and only Beantown. Hit it!
Yes, Tony. How are you, sir?
Not bad. Hey, Brian. By any chance, listen, we're coming at you live and unedited for Jacare versus Brunson to the results show. Brian, I never asked you this. Are you a wrestling fan?
I was a wrestling fan back in the day. Yeah, I grew up, with the 80s, the Million Dollar Man, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, all that good stuff. Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I loved it back in the day. I struggle with it now, man.
Me too. You know, one thing that you and I were texting about off air, I always think competition is good. And I was a fan of wrestling in the 80s when I was a kid. And I got into it a little bit in the 90s when they were having those wars back and forth, WCW and the WWE. But I think that's what you and I were talking about, Bellator, and how competition is good. I think competition is good right now in the sport, Brian. I think the sport needs competition.
Tony, You're 100% right. I like the competition. I like the roster that Bellator is starting to build. But I feel like when some of the big names go over there, once you hear about them for maybe 2 weeks before their fight, and then maybe 3 days after their fight, and then you never hear from them again. Or you don't hear from them again real soon. You know, Ryan Bader's over there, Phil Davis, Rory McDonald, Benson Henderson. These guys don't get any publicity unless they're right around the corner from their fight. And that's why I struggle with some of these real big names going over to Bellator. I think Rory McDonald should still be in the UFC. With his talent, he should be fighting UFC caliber fighters. Just my feeling. But you're right. I wish there were more competition out there. I wish there were other organizations that could really offer top of the food chain fights.
You know what, Brian, that actually brings up a good point. So you and I are in corporate America in various different manners, but all in basically the same sort of atmosphere, right? Here's the thing. Would you rather be, so let's just say you're a fighter yourself, and you and I were talking about that, right? About Bendo going over to Bellator and being sort of getting lost in his shuffle. Keep in mind, I think he's gone 1-3 in his last four Bellator fights. And he went out on a bang in the UFC, but even then he was a shell of what he was. And I think that has to do with, I think, so many fighters have so many fights in them, and I think that's about it. But here's a question I pose to you, Brian. Would you rather be a big fish in a smaller pond, or would you rather be a smaller fish in a really large pond, and maybe you'll never get that shot, i.e. Rory McDonald?
Well, I was a little surprised when they released the salaries that Rory McDonald made. He only made $100,000 for that fight in Bellator, which for me was, you know, that's before his sponsorship and everything else, but the release amount of money he made was $100,000. I find it hard to believe he can't negotiate that style of payout in the UFC just based off his war with Robbie Lawler and some of the other fights that kid's been in. I think depending on the level of talent, some belong in Bellator and others belong in the UFC. For me, Phil Davis and Rory McDonald should be in the UFC until they're a little bit past their prime, then go down to Bellator and make some money if that's what you're looking for. To me, Bellator sometimes they have no direction. They're all over the place. They will have fights, and then they'll have these gone show fights. You know, in this heavyweight tournament, let's not call it a heavyweight tournament. Just call it a tournament of stars, please. You know, you got four light heavyweights in there. You know, I'm sorry, three light heavyweights, a middleweight, and then four legit heavyweights. But you tell us it's a heavyweight tournament like we're stupid. You know, don't do that crap. Just tell the truth.
Let's get into that a little bit. So obviously you're right, and I think they went for the main factor alone. But I will argue this, though, Brian. I think the same thing, sort of the wackiness of craziness that's been going on in Bellator, can be kind of said right now for the UFC, because I think right now, Brian, I think the UFC is kind of lost in which direction they want to go.
Tony, that's an awesome point. It's agreed. It's so, if you look at each weight division, there's only a few weight divisions where the champion is sort of defined. Like right now, middleweight's a mess. Like heavyweight's about to become a mess. Heavyweight's about to become a mess. Welterweight's a mess because we don't know when Woodley's going to fight again. You know, 155, we have a champion and an interim champion, and now we're going to have like three interim champions. You're right. They've lost their way a little bit, and they just have to bring it back to this is the champion, these are the top 15 contenders, and just fight each other. The natural progression of the sport will lead the way. I think they're desperate to make back the money that they spent on this thing, and they're muddying it up. That's a great point you just made, Tony.
I agree with you, Brian, but I think WME, IMG, or I think they're called Endeavor now, they basically have enough money to basically play this out. The problem will be, of course, did they expect a lot more money in a TV contract? Let's table that for a second. I want to get into the Bellator tournament, because you were right, and Marco has said it too. It's more of an open weight tournament more than anything, and I think, Brian, they went for the names more than anything. Let me give you the names. I know you already know them, but let me rattle them off. In the quarterfinals, we had Quentin Jackson and Chael. Chael, of course, won that via a very boring decision, but you know what? Good on Chael, because he actually looked pretty decent at that weight. Next, we have Frank Mir, of course, fighting Fedor, I believe, or is it Matt Mitrione versus Roy Nelson? I don't know which one's next. And then, of course, you have King Mo versus Bader. You mentioned Bader earlier. Brian, who do you have going into the semifinals? Who do you have going to the finals? And who do you have winning this thing?
Ah, boy, that's a tough one, right? A lot of times, I love Frank Mir's skill set. But I like the 250-pound Frank Mir, not the 265-pound Frank Mir. So I need to see
280 right now.
Exactly. Like, I need to see what kind of shape he comes to in the ring. Has the year and a half to 2 years off affected him? So if he's in shape and he doesn't have ring rust, like Mir, boy, I got to be honest, Bader versus King Mo does nothing for me. I just don't think that's going to be an exciting fight. I really struggle with King Mo, to be quite honest. Boy, Mitrione versus Nelson. I like that from a viewing aspect. If I have to pick somebody, I'm going to pick an in-shape Frank Mir. If Frank's not in shape, boy, I might lean towards Roy Nelson. He's surprised us in the past.
I actually don't like that matchup, the Roy Nelson versus Mitrione, because I think, Brian, they're taking one of those players out of it, which could have gone into the semifinals. So that particular bracket, that one, I struggle with that one. But assuming the brackets stay as is, I agree with you. I think it's either going to be Mitrione. I think it's probably going to be Mitrione versus Mir. I could see Bader versus Mir, to be honest with you. But I think it's going to be one of those. Bader's a damn good fighter, Brian. Do you see any dark horses that may come out of there that aren't even in?
Oh boy, I don't know. Like who would you, if you had to have a backup, who would you put in? Like Czech Congo? I don't know who kind of slide in there.
Here's the thing. I think they didn't put in some of the heavyweights because there were lesser known heavyweights. I'll give you a prime example of someone that may have been in there that could have been out. And the reason why I bring this up, do you remember Daniel Cormier, how he came out of nowhere to just win the belt?
I don't know. No, I believe, didn't he come in as an alternate and win the whole thing?
Exactly. And the one thing that we know about injuries, that injuries, various things happen. Now, I understand they didn't want to put, and here's the underdog I'll give you. Javi Ayala. Because no one really knows about this guy, but quietly in Bellator, he's gone 5-3. Not impressive, right? But when you look at the run, keep in mind, he went via decision to Roy Nelson, and I don't think that was even possible. But I think Bellator wanted to avoid these kind of no-name guys that get up there, and that's yep. why they put sort of the open weight type of thing. But I could certainly see Javi Ayala doing that. I honestly think you're going to kill me by saying this. Rory McDonald said that he would go up to fight in this fight. I think since they've already opened it, why not just open it up to everyone?
See, I would watch it just for the freak factor, you know, and that's where I think Bellator struggles. Like, do they struggle? Do they want to be the freak show organization, or do they want to be the legit organization? You look at some of their cards, and some of their cards are legit fighters versus fighters. Some of their other cards, like what, Data 5000 versus Kimbo Slice, Gong Show, Shamrock versus I can't remember who he fought recently, and it was an awful fight. Shamrock. What was that?
Who the hell did he fight? I don't know. That was horrible. I agree with you that was a crap show. Totally agree with you. Yeah.
So like which way are we going? Like just call it a Bellator open weight and then put in it whoever you want to put in it. And that'll be a lot more fun. And you know what? If an unknown heavyweight wins it, well then guess what? He's no longer unknown. So put some risks in there. Like you and I are fight fans. We enjoy fights. I don't have to have a name just to watch it. You can build a person through a tournament like this. Build your heavyweight class through a tournament like this. Don't muddy the waters and, you know, Quentin Rampage Jackson versus Chael. Come on, man.
I wouldn't mind seeing some of the light heavyweights if they get a chance. Next scheduled fight for the tournament will be Mitrione versus Nelson too, and that will be February 16th at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. On that card, Brian, will be Liam McGarry, who I think struggles to make light heavyweight, so that'll be interesting. And, of course, you have Phil Davis. Hell, why not bring Phil Davis up, although he's always in great shape. Let's talk about this. Big John McCarthy leaves as a referee, and I don't know if you've seen his work, but he's actually doing a really good job doing the color. Any takes on that?
Yeah, he is doing a very good job, and I've called into MMA Junkie Radio before when McCarthy's on it, and I think my phrase was it's like almost going to MMA church when that guy speaks. He has so much knowledge, so much experience. And the one thing that I'm thinking to myself, now he hasn't officially come out and said that he's done being a referee, correct?
No, he is retiring for now.
Okay. So part of my thought is if he goes back to being a referee, after being a color commentator for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and he sort of expressed his opinion on some of these fighters, are those fighters going to be a little bit jaded towards him when he's in the ring, you know, reffing their fights? So if he's done being a ref, then I think he's going to be okay. But if he's going to bounce back and forth between the two of them, I think it could be like, oh, not conflict of interest, but just upset some of the fighters. Like, oh, I remember what this guy said about me, and bring more attention to himself, where he's just an awesome ref, you know, stone-faced and was the best in the business.
I totally agree with you, Brian. I think he's retiring for now because he wants to make sure that he can make it in this business. And Ian, listen, it's only been two events thus far, but I think he's doing a great job. So shout out to Big John McCarthy. Hey, I want to jump into, let's jump into basically the Ronda Rousey thing. So Ronda Rousey makes her debut last night. I did not watch it, to be fair, but she shows up at the WWE event. I think it was the Royal Rumble. So let me ask you about this. Ronda Rousey, of course, great fighter, now hangs it up after two straight defeats. I don't think she embarrassed herself, to be frank. I just think everybody has a run.
No.
And I think the sport, the women's game has gotten a little better. Do you have any interest at all on seeing Ronda as a wrestler, and how do you think she'll do?
Tony, on a scale from 0 to 0, I don't even give it a 0.
0.0.
What happened to the 0.0?
0.0.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's my line. 0.0. I don't understand. Okay, professional wrestling is for kids. I don't understand how adults can get into professional wrestling. Like the channel that we love, you know, 93, Rush, Sirius XM, they dedicate 2 hours a day to professional wrestling. We're grown men, grown up, call in and talk about the women's division of wrestling and how they're upset with this and how they're upset with that. And it boggles my mind. MMA is professional wrestling come to life. Stuff that I watched in the 80s now happens in the octagon. The sleeper holds are real. Drop kicks are real. Elbows to the chest are real. There's good guys. There's bad guys. There's blood. And it's all real. And there's real characters and there's real emotion. So I don't get it. Like, children, you want to watch pro wrestling? Have at it. When a grown-up calls in to a professional wrestling radio show and complains about the storylines, I'm like, what are you, out of your mind? Who cares? You know, and the thing about...
And it is scripted, right?
Yeah. And the thing about professional wrestling is half of it is personality. I think the two of us can agree that Ronda is not loaded with personality. So they're going to have to, like, give her a wrestling manager and, oh, who cares? Whatever, Ronda.
Clearly, UFC on Fox 27 was last weekend. Shout out to, of course, all those that were there. Buffalo Boo was there. Our very own Pam and, of course, our very own Lerone were both there. I actually thought this was a lackluster card for Big Fox, because this was on Big Fox. So I thought it was a lackluster card. Did like the main event, although honestly, I don't think that should have been a main event. What'd you think about the card overall?
Yeah, you know what? It's like the fights, they didn't stink, but they weren't great. And I think if you're going to put it on Big Fox, you've got to put a name out there that the casual fan is going to tune in to see. So I was very surprised with the matchmaking. And I personally didn't think for 1 second that Jacare wasn't going to beat Derek Brunson. I don't think Derek is on the level of top 10, even top 12, top 15 guys. He doesn't have the full skill set. I have to tell you, though, over the years, I've really become a Jacare fan. I'm a fan of his skills, and I'm a fan of him as a human, too. I thought the emotion that he showed after the fight
was great,
because he went through hell and back to get where he was. And that's the part of, it's one of the parts of MMA that I love. You know, I love the violence. I love the athleticism. I love the blood, sweat, and tears that those men and women put into the sport, you know, and people who aren't educated on it. Oh, it's barbaric. Well, okay. If you're not educated on it and you want to call it barbaric, fine. But boy, man, the more you watch it, the more you understand people and the coaches and what goes into behind it. I just love it.
There is an art to this, and you're right, Brian. I mean, you figure two people that are in corporate America would probably not get into the violence, the controlled violence that is. But you know what? The attendance there was 10 grand, total gate of almost $1 million. Very good outing for an event that they honestly haven't had an event for 8 years almost. 8 years since the last time the UFC was there. And of course, the last time Strikeforce was there was in 2012. So it's been quite some time. And of course, that was Souza / I think it was Derek Brunson Souza. Served as that same main event. Let's jump a little ahead. And the reason I'm saying this, listen, I still say right now, Brian, that the cards are just a little too thin, and that's because they're putting on too many shows. But coming up, and we're not going to do a preview on this because we do have the show either Wednesday or Thursday, Smack My Picks Up, but Machida versus Anders, don't you think they could have combined both of these cards and put on a better Fox show since they are basically buying for a new contract?
You would think that would make sense. You know, you think they would... you would think they would hit these cards, especially on Fox, you know, to combine some of the talent. But I think they have so many fighters on the roster. you know, and they're all looking to put them somewhere on the card. But I remember 10, 15 years ago when a UFC card, it was just packed with names. Now, if you go back and look at the last couple pay-per-views, they really just give you a main event and a co-main event. And then the other three fights on the main card are not as spectacular as I would like them to be. If you look at the fight that just came to my beloved town, the fight card in Boston, the main event,
good card. Board,
oh, top of the food chain. But then you start looking at the other three that were on the main card, and they're not really household names. I mean, they're not household names at all. So I'm starting to wonder why they're not just stacking these things.
So let me ask you this. So obviously the next card after the Machida-Anders fight is another middleweight fight. Yoel Romero versus Luke Rockhold. We just saw Jacare versus Brunson. Let me ask you this. What's next for Jacare? Which do you think is next for Jacare? Because we don't know about the new modern UFC, right? And what's next for Brunson? Where do you think these guys fall now in the pantheon of the middleweight division?
I think Brunson falls hard, and I think he falls far. Jacare, on the other hand, I think a good matchup for him, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, would be, I think Chris Weidman's a good matchup for him. I think the winner of Jacare Souza versus Weidman, that person starts talking about back in the title hunt at all. Brunson, I'm not sure where you'd go with him. How do you feel about Brunson? Where do you feel he should go?
I actually think the next fight for Brunson should be, and listen, there aren't any easy fights, right? There just aren't any easy fights. But how about giving Brunson a Sam Alvey? Or how about giving Brunson a Tim Boach, or maybe even David Branch, who obviously came to the UFC again and really hasn't done much. I'll tell you what I don't want to give Brunson. I don't want to give Brunson Shoeface or any of, you know, Apollo Costas or any of the really up and comers that are making noise. I kind of want him. I think he'll ever be one of those people that just kind of is so-and-so and not really gets there. But I'll be honest with you. Thought the same thing about Robert Whittaker, and definitely moves up to middleweight, and look at what he's shown. So it'll be interesting what happens there. I do want to ask you about this, though. So Jacare is 38 years old. Not young. Really hasn't fought very often, but you are a Jacare fan. Should Jacare get the winner of Rockhold Romero?
Do you believe Robert Whittaker is healthy by then, or is he still on the sidelines?
I don't. You know what? And I said this to Proteus on Smack My Picks Up last week. I honestly think Whittaker is going to have one of those Cain Velasquez type of careers where this kid would have been
interesting.
It's going to be filled with what if. I'm not sure what Whittaker will be healthy to fight on a regular basis.
Well, if Bobby Knuckles is unable to compete, then I think Souza makes sense for the winner of Romero versus Rockhold. I mean, they're all older guys, but man, they're amazing athletes, those three guys. And then I think you sort of have Chris Weidman on the outside looking in. But, you know, you do Weidman versus Bisping. Like, where does Bisping factor into this thing, too? Where does Branch factor in? So my long-winded answer to your question is, yeah, I would, if Whittaker can't compete, I would put Jacare as the next up against the winner of Rockhold versus Romero. I don't see anybody else creeping around, and I don't think GSP is going to fight at middleweight again either. So I think it makes sense.
So let me ask you this before we move. Last part of the show before we hit the music and start it, get into our little tidbits. But what we saw once again, and we mentioned Daniel Cormier early in the show when we were referring to the Strikeforce tournament and how he came out of nowhere. Basically, I think we've forgotten, Brian, or at least I have. 13-0 is a heavyweight. He gets the blessing of Cain Velasquez to fight Stipe Miocic, two good guys in the sport. What is your take on Daniel Cormier fighting Stipe, and should this fight happen?
You know, there's a lot of talk lately about super fights and super fights and super fight this and super fight that. But if you look at Cormier, as long as Jones is on the sidelines, he's pretty much wiped out that division.
Yeah.
Stipe, for the most part, has beaten anybody with any credibility. So I don't see a problem with that as a super fight, because that qualifies for a super fight because both men have done damage to their own division. Now, there's a saying that I used to hear a lot in boxing. I don't hear it a lot in MMA, but I think that it works well for this fight. Normally, a good big man will beat a good smaller man. I think Cormier is a little too small for Stipe. And in my head, I'm trying to think of ways for Cormier to beat Stipe? Is he going to do what he did against Jones or Jones 2 for like the first 2 to 3 rounds, just walk him down and eat some of those heavyweight punches? Boy, I don't know. At the end of the day, I give that. I think Stipe wins that fight just based off of what I said earlier, that a good big man beats a good smaller man. What's your take on that?
You know what? I was thinking the same thing, Brian, and still, until I started, keep in mind, both of these guys were younger at the time, meaning Daniel Cormier and everyone that he fought. But keep in mind, he did beat a young, juiced Antonio Silva. He did beat a younger Frank Mir, right? This is a Frank Mir of 5 years ago, who arguably was the most rounded heavyweight at the time. He did beat Roy Nelson, who isn't very tall. He's probably 5'10". He did beat Hendo, who probably shouldn't have been in the heavyweight division. So I don't know. I mean, is Stipe any better than a youngish Josh Barnett? Is Stipe any better than Frank Mir of 5 years ago? I don't know. I think he may be, but this will be an interesting fight because Stipe, for everything that we love about him, he's not young. I mean, he's mid-30s, yeah. Right? I'll look it up. So Stipe's 35, and DC, Brian, is 38, soon to be 39. Not much of an age gap there.
Yeah, it's a great fight for people like you and I because we can talk about it till we're blue in the face because there's 100 different angles. There's 5 different ways Stipe can win, right? There's 5 different ways Cormier can win. Now let's say Cormier wins. He now holds the heavyweight belt. He holds the light heavyweight belt. Does he fight his friend Kane? Does he not fight his friend Kane? Does he go back down to heavyweight? Stipe, he's a type of fighter. He doesn't wow you. I can't point to one thing where I say, in the heavyweight division, Stipe is the best at this. He's he's a lot like Steve Harvey, right? Steve Harvey is good at a lot of things. Funny, he's interesting. He can sing a little bit. He can play a little bit of music. But he's not phenomenal at one thing. He's a bunch of things put together. Stipe's the same way. He's a good boxer. He's got good power. He's a good wrestler. He's got good wrestling skills. He's just a solid, solid fighter. And that's what makes this such an intriguing matchup. I love this matchup when it was announced. And I like both of them as humans, too. I think Daniel Cormier is a great guy. He's so honest. He wears his hat on his sleeve. Stipe's the same way. I mean, God, he's a friggin' firefighter, for God's sakes. Like, how did the UFC not promote that? How do they not promote him as our heavyweight champion of the world is a first responder? God bless America. Wave the flag back and forth. You know, I think they blew it promoting his last fight.
And a good man.
Sorry.
He's a good guy. And a good man. Right? Yep. So let's get out of here. Ryan, we have to do this more often. But as we're getting out of here, let's not forget, Patriots are going to the Super Bowl, Brian. So I will ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Your prediction for the Super Bowl.
You know, my whole life as a Patriots fan, I've not been cocky. I've always been humble because I hate being cocky. I'll tell you this, I really, really want them to win. Because if you notice that Brady had that cut on his finger last week, well, I said this on the Dunphy Show. Apparently, that was pre-op surgery for them to put a 6th finger on that hand so they can have another ring there. So I'm going with Patriots, my friend.
I think it's going to happen, too. And you know what? As a non-Patriot fan, I hate to say it, Brian, but I think it's going to happen, too. And I don't even think it's going to be close. Brian, as we're getting out of here, I do want to give my Twitter follow of the week. I know you don't do Twitter. I wish you did, Brian. And by the way, great job on your calls of late. I'm going with Jacare Souza for the same reason that you said. The fact that he gave love to his wife. I dig that family stuff, yeah. Brian. You and I are both family guys. So at Jacare MMA, Jacare, of course, means alligator. Anyone you want to shout out, Brian?
You know what? I'm going to shout out to Facebook Watch. Everybody check out Tom versus Time. It's fantastic. It's a cool look behind the scenes of the greatest quarterback of all time. And personal life is there as well. It's really cool. And Tony, you and I have an East-West connection. Thank you for having me on. I love it. There's nothing more I like to do than talk to MMA. So thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure, Brian. Let's do this more often.
You got it, baby.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
0.0.